Hello and welcome into the Gotta Be Saints podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Gotta. Join me each week as I speak with future saints about being saints. Today's podcast is titled, Why a Good Person Doesn't Make a Great Spouse. Okay, I know that's a pretty interesting title, and yet there is some merit, some purpose to it. I found myself the other day praying and just sitting with our Lord, and one of the things that came up was to be praying for those people who are struggling with their faith, struggling with just how they view their relationship with the Lord. There's many people who are constantly battling what is required of them, what the Lord is asking of them. There was one person in particular who came to mind to me as I was seeing or thinking this and sitting in prayer talking about it. There's a woman I met a few years back who was, a senior in college and seemed very on fire for the faith. And yet, didn't know what she was to do following graduation, but wanted to work for the church. Well, this person didn't get one position at a missionary organization, but did get a job at the local church. So was going to go work in youth ministry. Well, this was not that many years ago, but I found myself looking at their social profile recently, as one does, to get updates on someone they haven't spoken to in a long time. And from an outsider's point of view, it appeared that they no longer were practicing the faith. This is, of course, a devastating thing, and I had to ask myself, well, why? Why was it that this person, just years after working for the church, seemingly had no faith life? And maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. Maybe it had become, instead of an external practice, an internal one, which, although is still disappointing to some degree, to go from visibly sharing your faith to only living it interiorly, it is, of course, still better than a total dismissal of what we believe. But I thought it was an important topic to discuss for that reason, that this situation, or for this reason, I should say, the situation is not unique. If we look in Scripture, if we go to the parable of the rich man, you know this story. Sorry, I shouldn't say parable. This story, this encounter. This man comes to Jesus. In all three of the synoptic gospels, it takes place. He comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, what can I do to obtain eternal life, to be with you in that deep way? And our Lord, you know, asks him, are you following the commandments? And he says, yes, I am. So our Lord says, okay, you lack one thing. You haven't surrendered yourself to me. Now, of course, our Lord in Scripture says, you know, go give all your possessions to the poor and follow me. And the man is distraught. He walks away sad. You know, think about that encounter often. I think about this idea that you're face to face with our Lord and he asks something of you that is just too hard. And so you walk away. You leave him. Now, of course, in this example specifically, he's talking about, you know, worldly possessions. But I think he's also talking to you and me. And yes, worldly possessions is part of that, but it's also, he's asking us if we're able to surrender our whole self to him. It doesn't mean we can't own things, but if tomorrow the Lord required of us to sell our house and home, would we be willing to do it? Would we be willing to trust him? Do we see our possessions as something that we have a great attachment to, or are these possessions that we could give away freely if that's what the Lord asked of us? I think that's a question for each and every one of us to consider, myself included, to ask ourselves, how would we handle this situation? Because although God may not ever ask us to give up everything, He is asking us to surrender our soul, whole selves over to him. And that's a very real request. And that's not just one that he makes to only a few, but he's inviting each and every one of us into that. And so I think there's something to be said about that thought process, thinking about that. So now as I return to this topic, you know, why a good person doesn't make a great spouse, I want to say this, and I say this not to belittle anyone in their situation, but this episode specifically is for those of you who are looking to find your significant other, your spouse. If you're desiring marriage, if you feel like that's the vocation God's calling you to, then this podcast is for you. I think so oftentimes there are those men and women who are so deeply invested in this desire to be loved that they are willing to sacrifice love itself in finding that. Let me say that again. There are so many men and women, there are people, we are willing to sacrifice the love itself, Jesus Christ, to find love. And the crux of it all is you don't find love at all. Or you might find love, but it's not the best love. It's not the ideal love. It's not the perfect love. Because any love that removes Jesus Christ is certainly not right. So let me go into that a little bit deeper. Why a good person doesn't make a great spouse. How many of you know somebody like this, or maybe this has been your own situation? You find your heart longing for love. And so you try dating. You do whatever you can to put yourself out there. And maybe you have success. Maybe you have the greatest amount of success somebody can have without finding it, finding your person. Maybe you've been in good relationships. One after another, though, there's something that happens where it doesn't work out. Or maybe you're in the opposite position. You've held true to your morals and your standards. And so time after time, you've said no to someone, believing that what you long for will come around. Well, at some point, I think rubber hits the road, and that conviction can wane on people. It can falter. You can say that it's too hard. You can give up. You can be like this rich man in scripture who feels like they're doing everything possible, but at some point they just get fed up with the process. And so maybe you've been so good from 18 on, you only dated good men or good women, and you pushed forward. But then some point, somewhere along the way, you meet someone. And this person is honestly everything you could hope for, except for the fact that they don't have a relationship with God. But you know what they are? They're a good person. And I think this is the crux of the lie from the devil. And I know that that is strong language, but how happy do you think the devil is when he paints a picture of something good that actually takes you away from God? Think about this. He's found a way to take something that he absolutely hates, which is love itself, love, the act of love. And he's found a way to use it to take us away from who we are intended to be with forever. He says, if I can paint love in a way that brings this person happiness momentarily, or maybe for a long time, but removes them from a relationship with God, I've done my job. I've found a way to use God's design against him in a certain sense. I found a way to take love, this beautiful thing that God has established, and I've distorted it. I have found a way to corrupt it to a point where I might be able to take souls away from God. That is the devil's thinking. And it's not me just speaking to sound provocative. This is the reality. This is the reality of what the devil does, what he's capable of. And so I say why a good person doesn't make a great spouse. I think this is a lie many of us in our society today are very, very, what's the right word? We're very capable, or it's a lie that we're capable of falling into, to listening to. It is a lie that can take the best heart, because this longing for love is real. This longing to be known, to be understood, to have a family, to have a spouse, to have someone that holds you, that listens to you. These are all real, real things. These are good longings, but they're longings that are secondary. Let me address that. When you look at marriage, when you look at relationship, there's one thing that needs to come first, that needs to come in front of everything else. And that is that the person you are with, one, loves Jesus more than you, but in a deep sense with that, they will your good for heaven above all else. Or I'll say that again, maybe in a more articulate way. When you're looking for love, when you're looking for a spouse, the person that you are pursuing or hoping to be with, if they don't look at heaven as the eternal resting place, the place that you're both destined for, if that's not the first thing that's on their mind, they are not ready to love you properly. Now, that does not mean that the God of the universe can't use those relationships for good. Maybe you're in a position where you and your now spouse weren't Catholic before, and you're listening to this podcast, and you guys have both come to know the Lord within your relationship. Then I say, praise God, because clearly the Lord is using that. The Lord can work in any relationship. And, or maybe you're somebody right now and you've been dating this good guy for a long time. And although they're not faithful, they still love you well, and they still will the good. Well, then, of course, discernment is a necessary piece in that relationship. But I'll say this, the second that person takes you away from the Lord, then the relationship is not worth continuing. I'll be very clear in that statement. If they take you away from growing in relationship with our Lord, that relationship is not worth pursuing. What does this look like? It can take so many forms, but it could start with something as simple as skipping Mass on Sunday while you're traveling. Maybe you and your significant other, you guys went to a wedding one weekend and, you know, it's out of town and you got to get back. And the person you're dating is not faithful. It's not Catholic. They're not practicing anything. And they know on Sundays you go to Mass, but they say, well, we booked a noon flight. It's just not going to work. It's so easy to give in to that line of thinking, to say, you're right, I probably just can't make it work. But if that person really wills your good, they would say, well, let's go to the 8 a.m. Let's get there in the morning. Or when we get back to town, we're going to find that evening Mass. This is just one example, but there's so many more that I could paint. It could be so many different things, but I think that one illustrates it pretty well. It's things like this, these obligations that we have as faithful Catholics to be with our Lord and to practice that calling that we have, to practice living our faith out. It could be other things too. Maybe you're trying to go to confession and the person you're with just keeps on seemingly getting in the way of that happening. Every time that you're trying to go on a Saturday afternoon, your significant other's telling you, you don't need to do that right now. It's fine, you can go another time. It's not going anywhere. Or maybe it's not as straightforward as that. Maybe it's just building an indifference to your faith. And isn't this a great lie from the devil too? Maybe he doesn't make it as explicit. As we said, we're talking about dating good people. I'm not talking about a person with 10 red flags. I'm talking about a good person. Maybe a very virtuous person. A person who lives a mostly good life. But even that person, if they are not building you up, if they're not bringing you closer to him, then you need to take a hard look. Maybe it's as simple as just saying, are they leading you to sin? Is the person you're dating very virtuous, but also wanting you to live with them before you're married? Are they engaging in or pressuring you in sexual sin? There's so many different ways, and I don't need to go through all of them, but I think this is something we have to be thinking about. A good person does not make a great spouse, but somebody who loves the Lord, who's faithfully pursuing him, who wills your good, that is the person you should look for. But it's so easy. It's so easy today in our society. We long for a relationship. We long to be with someone, both men and women. We want to be married. We want to give ourselves over. We want to have a best friend. So I understand that. But that does not give us the ability to walk away from what we know to be true. Truth has to be still at the forefront of what we do and say and pursue. And there are several instances in the Gospels where, you know, people walk away from our Lord. I shared one already. But most explicitly, you look at John 6, the Bread of Life discourse. And Jesus is there and he shares a teaching that's hard. And multiple people walk away because they say, this is too difficult to follow. Well, how true is that in what I'm describing? How many people do we both know, maybe ourselves included, where we've struggled with that and we've wanted to say, I just want to walk away, Lord. This idea that I'm called to pursue chastity in a relationship, it's hard. Or the fact that this person is so good on paper in all these ways, they're just not interested in faith. Why can't I be with them? They love me so well. They make me laugh. Well, this might be the case in the short term. Maybe they are good for you in so many ways, but if they're never going to show any interest in getting to know Christ Jesus, you're going to live a very, very difficult and in many ways lonely life, because to not be able to share Christ Jesus is the greatest sorrow you will ever face. To not be able to share Christ Jesus with someone, to show what he's done in your life, there is no greater hardship. It might not seem like that in the present moment, but I promise you, because without being able to do that, you won't ever be fully yourself. Jesus has made it so that love, when filling our hearts, gives us the greatest feeling. And if you're unable to share Christ with someone, then your heart will never be full. What do you need to do to gain eternal life? You have to give everything over to him. Sacrifice him. And for many of you who are listening to this, I want to say that includes maybe your relationship. Maybe you have to give this over to him. Because right now, you're in a relationship and the person you're with is a good person, but they're not the person. Because God wants you to be happy in this life, but also happy in the next. Much more importantly, And when I say even happy in this life, what I mean is he wants you to be filled with joy. He doesn't promise that it will be easy or that it's going to be filled with great abundance of blessings in the certain sense, but it will be filled with great graces and it will be filled with joy. That's why you look at the lives of the saints. Some of them had the most difficult of lives, and yet they were filled with joy because God had been on their hearts in all of those moments, even in the tough times. I hope that what I've said has been helpful. I invite you to look for someone who pursues heaven, who wants to get to heaven with you. And if you're in that relationship, if you're in that tough ground where you've maybe gone years now and you're just at a breaking point, you just want to date someone, you're almost willing to give away your convictions if it means finding love, I invite you to pray into that. Ask the Lord to give you the conviction that you need to stay faithful. Because I do think that's what the Lord wants for you. He wants you to be with him in heaven one day. And to do that, you need to remain faithful, remain close to him, and let him give you the graces necessary. I thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe and check out goodcatholic.com for more details.